Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're going to be featuring all month long conversation around the presidential election, your thoughts, your ideas, your concerns, your issues, your, you know, whatever it is that you notice. And as we say, and we'll say it again, we at the International Black Summit do not represent any opinion. The views that have been expressed are those of the individual hosts that are on the air, and we're expressing ourselves, and we're not expressing for the International Black Summit. That being said, my name is Glenn Greenwich, and I am from New York City, Jamaica, Queens, and I am looking forward to this election. You know, we had a conversation last week, and we talked about things changing and position changing and how tight it is and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. So, you know, that's what we get to deal with. That's what we get to be with. Be with what is, whatever that looks like. Well, as we normally start, we'll start off with the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and then I will talk about the purpose and the question for the year. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community of possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. I want to let you know the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So that's really our purpose, what we're here, to deliver on in the conversation tonight, as well as to speak to any concerns or issues that we have going on. The current question, and that's the question that we engage in, is what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So we're going to look at that conversation, that question, throughout the year until next August. What is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So that's kind of the who we are and what we're up to. And we're certainly going to also talk a little bit about the website, which is Black Summit, www.blacksummit.org. Okay? So that is the conversation that's the website. That's the engagement that we're going to have. So we'll be speaking with you. If you'd like to talk, press 1, and we'll open up your mic. So let's start the conversation off with, well, what did you think of the vice presidential debate? So we saw the presidential debate, and then the vice president squared off. What are your thoughts about that? Anyone like to comment? Got a couple open mics. And if your mic isn't open, press 1, and we certainly will open it up for you. I actually did not see it. I was at a volunteer event and was unable to see the debate. But what I understand from the commentary that I received is that it was a tie, that Biden stepped up and was a little more aggressive and seemed to have, battled back a little bit on presidential candidate Ryan. And vice president candidate Ryan. And Ryan seemed to be a little bit more quiet and at ease and even tempered. And so people thought that that made them win. So it was very interesting that both candidates did their no major gaffes, and basically sounds like it was a tie in that the Democrats felt comfortable and thought that Biden did what he needed to do, and the Republicans felt like Ryan did what he needed to do. So, it's quite interesting. As I said, I didn't get a chance to see it, but the commentary was mixed. Some people were a little to feel like Ryan had won, and some people felt like Biden had won. And the question really has to do with, what do you think? And what were those undecided voters thinking about what occurred? So again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, press 1, and we'll bring you in. If you're listening online, the number tonight to call in is 646-716-9827. My name is Glenn Greenwich, and I'm coming to you live and in color. Our website is www.blacksummit.org, and this annual event in August will be held in Ottawa, Canada, which is between Montreal and Toronto. And actually closer to Montreal. So we're going to have a pretty lively summit. We're going to have a lot of young people that are going to be there. We have a youth summit as well as an adult summit that's going to be taking place. So, Henrietta, any comments from you? Are you back?
Yes, I'm back. I'm back. I listened to the vice presidential debate over the radio, and it was interesting because there were times that I had to say, because I was actually doing something else, and when I would listen back, there were a couple of times where I would say, "Now wait a minute, who's speaking here?" And it was interesting because last night I was talking with a group of ladies who, were discussing the debate, and they are from the advertising industry. marketing and advertising, and one of the things they said that you can, I can't remember the term that they used, but they were talking about a particular person that in advertising you use for a specific reason, and they're very convincing. They're an actor, you know, almost like an actor. But they're so convincing, you actually believe that they're on your side. Okay? And that's we're describing the opponent to Vice President Joe Biden. So I wanted to put that out there to see how you felt about that. And then I have another question about the debate, like winning a debate versus listening to a debate. Are you listening to a debate to see who wins? I mean, is it like a fight? Is it like a race? Or are you listening to see who has your interest in their plan, things that you need? Or are you looking for the person who has the loudest voice, or who interrupts the most, or who tells the most lies, I've been in these conversations since last Sunday, and I'm just wondering, you know, what are we listening to the debate for? So I just wanted to put that out there, Glenn, and see how you felt about that, those things.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting because the debates, most of the time I didn't listen to the debates in the past, and wasn't very interested in them, and didn't find them, didn't find them very interesting because I already had in my mind who I was going to vote for. So I had already most of the time had formulated my opinions prior to the debates. But one of the things that I found 4 years ago was that the debate was a very much of a springboard for some of President Obama's support. That I thought was kind of interesting. So that has interested me. The last 5 or 6 years I've been involved in local politics. And so the impact of it and the interest of it level has changed because kind of noticing what the local politicians are doing in relation to the national politicians. So it's been kind of interesting. And so to answer your question, what I listen to the debates are basically to understand, and for me, the first presidential debate, I wanted to see what Romney had to say. I was really interested in how he was going to present his plan for getting the country back on track. And, you know, and it was interesting because I watched it at a restaurant bar that had, had the screens, and one of the local politicians had actually organized it so that we all could kind of listen to it together, which is what we did. And when Romney would tell a lie, everybody was like, you know, it was just kind of like a little gas will go up. So it was interesting. And I think for me, that's really what the President Obama's sort of ineffectiveness was, because he wasn't expecting Romney just to flat out say some of the things that he said. So, you know, so to answer your question more specifically, I'm listening for, I actually was listening from a standpoint, if I was undecided, what would I get from the debate? You know, that was how I was listening. And I was very disappointed that that the questions weren't being answered, and that you know, I felt President Obama had actually answered the questions. However, the psychological aspect of the debate, I felt, as you know, Romney had won that. So it was quite interesting to. And then I heard the all of the news stations and the pundits determining what, how they felt and what took place and so on and so forth. So it was all quite interesting. And I still have my opinions about what actually what I saw and what occurred. And also I must say that the impact of the mediators, because the mediators also control the flow. Now what I understand from this vice presidential debate, the moderator basically took control, but that was one of the things that I thought I was very surprised at, as in the presidential, the first presidential debate, that the that the moderator really didn't seem to have control. So, I know I've jumped around, but I did. Hopefully I answered your questions fully.
Right. Yeah. So you are looking for any information that you can get from either, you know, as a candidate, and you're looking for what I heard. What I think I heard you say was you're looking for certain questions to be answered on particular topics, you know. And see, I'm wondering, because I'm just looking from this week to last week. I've heard so many different conversations about things. You know, Obama's got to step it up. Obama's got to respond, or Obama's got to go there. And then we heard from Joe last week about power and how you, when you are powerful, you don't do that. In so many words, that's what he shared with us. You don't have to do that. You stand in your power. You don't have to fight with your power, you know. So I'm just wondering, have we just blown this out of proportion, or was that the intent for people to start talking about the debate so much that they'd actually forget about the issues, you know? And it appears that's what's going on. One of the ladies in the group I was with last night brought up the point of the things that were the legislature that was passed immediately when the Republicans took over. Became the majority, like how they pushed the legislature through right away, a lot of which had to do with chemical companies and where they could dump, you know, garbage and different things like that. And so someone thought that this was a tactic to get everybody hyped up about the debate so that they would really forget about the real issues. And, you know, they just take people's minds off of it. There's just, like, so many different things. Some people are, you know, saying that they just, like you said earlier, they want to hear the answers to the questions. They don't want to hear arguing and back and forth, you know, answer the questions and move to the next question, you know, so you can get everything covered. But I'm just wondering now if we will ever hear the answers to the questions. I even heard the opponent, the vice president's opponent, say, oh, well, I know you're under a lot of pressure to make up for, with, you know, because he Vice President Biden, he answered a question. He kind of did what Romney did. You know, he answered a question when it wasn't his turn, or he jumped in when he was saying something that was not true. And how he responded was, I know you're under a lot of pressure, but I think we could get a lot further if only one person would talk at a time. So he kind of checked in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I really recommend people listening to the debates over the radio, because then you don't get to see the faces. And it's a totally different experience, you know, than when you're watching it on television, you know, like watching their body language and things like that. And then there was another commentator who talked about the body language of the president, the presidential candidates, and how Obama's body language spoke in charge, like I am in charge. And Romney's body language was just the opposite. He was fiddling and he was moving around and he was doing this and doing that. And so they talked about that as well. And in that particular arena, they felt Obama had won because he was so cool and so calm about everything.
Well, you know, I've got to believe that things are smoke and mirrors. You know, I think that the issues aren't really being addressed, and as most Americans have witnessed, we're being played by the media. We're being played by the sensationalism, the grandstanding, and all of the non-expressive issues. You know, it's about the body language. It's about the perceived result, regardless. And it almost seems like it's unimportant if you answer the questions or not, or that you're truthful, or that you flip-flop or not. Because if I were to say what my opinion of Romney is at in this point in time, I'd have to call him a chameleon, because he didn't change colors depending on the background, okay? Mm-hmm. And so is that who I want to run my country? You know, I certainly question that, and I question the plans that he has. You know, like he's talked a lot of talking points, but what is he actually looking to get done? And how is he going to get it done? Because he really is, to me, selling the opinion that the Republican Party has been selling. Although, if you listen to him as of late, he is venturing far away from the Republican platform to get these undecided votes. So, and I've heard, of course, you know, I've heard that some of the leaders in the Republican Party have basically told him to, you know, you better get back to the party's platform. So, you know, there are a lot of games being played here, and I think that the best way for me to describe it is there are a lot of games being played. The media is grandstanding this and playing it up, and you know, it's shifted this much. And you know, the bottom line, when you look at the historical aspects of debates and you look at the incumbents, the first debate was lost 5 out of the 6 times that the incumbent debated in modern-day television, debated with the candidate
always came out better and got credibility from the first debate. Now, in all of those cases, I can't remember who actually won the election, but the first debate didn't have much to do with the actual election result, but the candidate did well 5 out of 6 times. I think the only one that did not defeat the incumbent was Clinton. Clinton was not defeated when he was the incumbent in the first debate. But every other candidate did, including President Barack Obama. So what does it all mean? You know, should we run scared? No, I don't think so. I think that what we, you know, what we've been saying on this program and other programs is to make sure you get out and vote. Make sure that you're registered. Make sure that the polling places haven't changed on you so that you know where you're going ahead of time. Because as I reported earlier, all my voting career, it's been pretty much at one polling place, except when I live in a different location. And all of a sudden, my polling place is not even in my district, which to me is bizarre that they would do that. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but of course they had a lot of redistricting, which was to weaken some of the Democratic strongholds in New York State, I can speak for specifically, and I imagine that that was part of the conversation around the country. So, again, make sure that you understand the issues, that you go out and vote, and you do, as I say, your due diligence around your candidate and your local candidates. You know, and I really want people not to sleep on their city and state representatives, because they have a lot to do with bills being passed. And if you're not, don't have the right people on the local level, it doesn't matter what the national leadership is, because they can't get it done without the work and the help of the local local politicians. Back to you, Henrietta. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. And please go on our website, and you'll find the latest and greatest information about when we're meeting and the October event that we've got coming up, which is going to be the first meeting after the annual event, where we have people declare the work and their participation in the facilitator body. We've got some business that's going to be taking place, and that meeting is going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, the 25th, 26th, 27th, I believe. So that's coming up,
26th, 27th, 28th. Right. And then,
yeah, go ahead.
Except for that, because if there are any summit shields or prerequisites in the area, they'll be listed on the website at blacksummit.org also. Also. How important, if we look at the Declaration, Glenn, you know, we just take a look. We don't even have to go to the Declaration. Let's go to the summit question that we have for this year. The what is available when I be with what is. Notice, when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. Like, what comes up for you when you think about that question and both candidates? You know, I guess I'm putting the question to you. I'm putting our question, our 2012-13 summer question to you. And which, and I guess I can't ask you this, you know, because these are just opinions that we're talking about and not necessarily the views of the International Black Summit. But when you look at that question and you look at the debates that have been going on and the issues and the things that have been talked about, what kind of connection can you make?
Well, you know, I talked a little bit about it previously, but the thing that really stands out for me, because I was triggered after the first presidential debate, and the thing that I noticed and I keep noticing is that really fulfilling my vision, I need to know what's going on in my local community and support and do whatever I need to do to change and impact and empower my community locally. You know, that's the thing that I keep getting. You know, there seemed to be a big expectation and hope that by President Obama being elected, that all of a sudden things were going to change overnight. And what we got to see was that's not so. That is not the case. That he has had to fight very hard to get the accomplishments that he has done, and that he's done quite a few accomplishments, you know, in the order of about 200 accomplishments. So he's gotten a lot of work done quietly. And he hasn't gotten the recognition that I think that he should have gotten for the work that he's gotten with a unruly or uncooperative Congress. And so, you know, one of the things that I noticed and was also aghast in the restaurant was when Mitt Romney mentioned that, oh, well, I work with my Democratic constituents in Massachusetts to get the law passed, but our president doesn't want to work, doesn't want to support bipartisan cooperation. And I was saying to myself, isn't that an interesting conversation that he would have, given that the same program that he put together in Massachusetts is basically what was put on the national agenda, and he and his fellow Republicans decided to vote against it. But yet this was the same program that he put in place in his own state of Massachusetts. And that in my estimation, President Obama had really bent over backwards to accommodate the Republican Party and to reach out and to do some things that they wanted to do. But of course, when he reached out to do the things that they had suggested, they decided not to, that they wouldn't support it, which I thought was kind of odd. So the question I keep looking at and realizing and kind of, as they say, be with, is, you know, what's really going on? Is this what's going on really about the president? And the question I keep answering, or I keep hearing back the response to, it's really not about the president. It's really about what's happening in my local community. And what am I doing with it and about it? So I've shifted the upset and the trigger, and I'm trusting that it's about me fulfilling my local vision for my community, having that be fulfilled, and that's the piece that I can work on, that I can impact, that I can bring my leadership to, and that's the piece that will make a difference for everybody, but certainly, you know, you got to start in your local grassroots type communities. So that's what I see, and that's kind of what's been a big shift for me inside of that conversation. Back to you.
This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you're on with Glenn Greenidge in New York, and I'm Henrietta Byrd in Chicago. And we're just discussing some of the week's issues on the election and on the debates. Just really tossing things back and forth to see, you know, what we know, how we feel about different things, what we think about different things. In Chicago, Glenn, I was telling you earlier, they have extended the voters' registration. But there's a new way that you have to do it. You have to bring all of your information, your ID, whatever is required. You have to bring that with you to register to vote, and you have to be prepared to vote when you register. So, you register and you vote at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and they just, because I think it ended on Tuesday, but then they opened it back up again. So you will be actually doing early voting. You register and then you do early voting. So everyone should check to make sure that voters' registration is still open in your area, because we want to make sure that we are prepared, you know, after all the debates, after all the debates and everything are ended, we want to make sure that we have our papers in orders and we are eligible to vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a caller with their hand up. It might be Mr. Nunu. We've got 504-309. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
What'd you say, Henrietta? What'd you say, Glenn? I'm just coming in on a rebound. That's all. I'm just listening in on a conversation.
Okay. Well, what did you think about the two debates so far?
I just heard one of the debates. That was the first one. That was out of town for the second one. So I can't put nothing in on the second one. But the first one was a humdinger. You know, it was one of those. put it in Southern Boys turn. Look out, y'all. We in trouble. But
well,
you know.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I was telling Henrietta earlier that, and some of our other listeners that historically that's very predictable that the incumbent would not do very well on the first debate,
right?
And that the candidate would be very. Would gain credibility, which is what occurred. Now, the interesting thing that I've seen and I've heard is that the polls, there was a slight movement in the polls, but the movement in the polls basically is saying now that they're about even. However, you know, the the percentage of plus or minus is usually, I guess, 3 to 5% differential. So the bottom line is, did anything really, really change? You know, and when will we really know? Because we've got the debate this Tuesday, the second and the third debates coming, and once those are in, it's really about the undecided votes, because a lot of people are already clear who they're going to vote for, and they may or may not hear something that would be consistent with their candidate. However, so do the debates really make that much of a difference? And the question is, I really don't know. Because in the past, most of the time I haven't even listened to debates because I had already made my opinion up. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, yep. Have you been in any conversations in New Orleans, Mr. Newman?
Well, yes and no, because I'm trying on my part. The federal government has put everybody on hold until after the elections. In other words, the VA, the compensation, the medical facilities, everything is slowed down. We're gonna wait until Obama or somebody, you know, cracks the ice. So everything is on standby. Plus, we got something coming up called the Super Bowl come January and the Mardi Gras come February. So everybody's ready to go party after all this mess is over with. They're not too much worried about it down here in New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody got their ear, you know, to the fire to see which way it's gonna go. But one thing I don't like about that Massachusetts man, I hate to put it to him, but he doesn't consistently keep with his train of thought. He moves too much. He wanders around. Instead of getting down to the point, getting down to the nitty gritty, he doesn't play the game the way it's supposed to be played. That's the only thing I don't like about Romney. He doesn't, you know, because he got so much money and he got power. He got bank accounts over there in the Caribbean and all that other junk. But, you know, that ain't the way you're supposed to. If you run in the government, you're supposed to be clean and green, eight and straight. But it ain't going to be that way, you know.
Yeah.
Well, every time I hear about the debate, I say, "Oh Lord, let me go turn the channel to something else on the TV." I go look at something else on TV because I'm getting sick and tired of it. You know, they're gonna do what they want to do any which way, Glenn. They're gonna deal with the hand they want to deal.
That's very, very true, and I think that you're not alone in that conversation, because I think a lot of people are kind of feeling it, because I'm not sure if it's not just a charade at this point in time.
Well, look. Not to cut you off again, but look at Hurricane Isaac. Okay, Obama came down here towards the New Orleans area,
uh-huh.
And you know, when he came down here with his entourage. Man, he blocked up traffic for three or four parishes for about 4 hours. He couldn't, nothing could fly out, nothing could fly in, nothing could move in, nothing could move out. I said, for the president of the United States, nobody gonna whack him? Come on, bro, come on in, and see what damages these hurricanes can really do to us. And Hurricane Isaac was a little blow. What you would call it, Henrietta? Was a little. Winter storm, according to what you guys get up there in Chicago, you know, the mighty hawk be blowing up a storm up that way. But down here, Hurricane Isaac was nothing but a tropical storm. But it did some damages.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of people are disgusted with the system, Glenn, because you got all state, you got State Farm, who got their deductibles on these insurance policies so goddamn high, it doesn't make any sense for you to put in a claim for damages for Hurricane Isaac because the deductible is so daggone high. And the government should drop that down a little bit more so people could redo their houses. You know, I mean, that's an act of God, a hurricane. Nobody can predict when a hurricane comes. Nobody can predict when lightning strikes and stuff like that. Nobody can predict if you're going to drown or if you're not going to drown. All you got to do is get yourself a good life preserver in the pirogue and put some alligators into it. Go about your business, man, you know. You got to survive. Y'all don't know, man, because Louisiana, at least New Orleans, if you don't have a good life preserver, you plumb nearly out of luck. I'm not joking. If you don't know how to swim in Louisiana, you better learn how. You better learn how. And then the old people, the old ladies, I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to make Henrietta laugh. But if old ladies who don't know how to swim, they better put four life preservers, two at the top, two at the bottom, to keep them afloat. I ain't lying. Look, we have a hard rain. That's what makes me so mad with the system in New Orleans, because they got billions and millions and billions and billions of dollars, and they wasteful. They wasting it. They giving it to the politicians down in New Orleans. They ain't trying to help the people. A lot of people. That's why New Orleans, the brothers don't want to come back into New Orleans area, because the white folks, quiet as it's kept, are quietly taking over the New Orleans area. Henrietta, you see more white folks riding bicycles in my neighborhood than the law allows. You was at one time or another, two, maybe 4 years ago, right after Katrina, you see one black dude riding a bicycle. Now you got about seven white folks riding bicycles. What's with the bicycles? All of a sudden, you got more whites in the neighborhood than the law allows. You know? And you got more cops hanging out in the right neighborhood, not the wrong neighborhood, the right neighborhood, to protect those white folks. Whereas the brothers in the wrong neighborhood, the police beating them upside the head. Well, why is this? Why is this? Tell me. That's all I got to say, Glenn.
That's why I think that yes, the presidential election is important, and we need to support who we think is going to lead us nationally, but more important is the local politicians and who's going to be doing the right thing.
Who got the power structure? Who's the power structure? You know?
Well,
who got the purse strings? Whoever holds the purse strings holds the power.
Well, that's an unfortunate thing because if you don't have the money, you're going to be on the low end of that, you know.
The low end of that total pool.
Yeah, and that's historically what we've seen, and that's why we've got to do something to stop this madness in our communities, because that's what it is becoming. It's becoming madness because we're you know, things are slipping, and there's things that we can do about stuff that is not getting done. You know,
and make it worse, Henrietta. You see more blacks incarcerated than the white boys. The white boys get off scot free. The brothers got to go to a probate officer and plead his case, and sometimes he don't even get his day in court. Guilty as found guilty. You know, and that's what the new district attorney and the prosecuting DA, they're getting tired of this. They got so many blacks going to jail, the jails are overcrowded. They excuse, or you just got caught smoking marijuana, case dismissed. You know, where somebody who commits a triple murder, well, we're going to take it into advisement. And I said, man, come on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you got the Chicanos out there, redoing all these houses from Katrina, from Hurricane Isaac, stealing like crazy. And when they get caught, or when they get shot, or when they get murdered, well, it's a big hullabaloo. Where the black dude get caught, get murdered, get shot, it's an everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
Everyday occurrence. I'm getting sick and tired. Man, I'm going, once I move out of the city of New Orleans, I'm going up the street. I'm going up the road up there to around Alexandria, Louisiana. Go look in your Google map. Google at Alexandria, Louisiana. I'm going up there in the country with 40 acres, 40 acres and my mule. You understand? My mule and my 40 acres, I'm getting out of the low country, low-life country, and I'm going up there to the high hill country. I'm tired of this. I'm just sick and tired.
Yeah. And that's the work that's got to be done in our local communities. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because it's getting crazy. This whole stop and frisk. You know, when we look at that. You know, and not that stop and frisk is a bad thing, but the abuse of it is, because it's when you look at who's being stopped?
It's the black man.
It's racial profiling. It's wasted resources because of the when you look at it the arrest rates associated with it are ridiculous. They're not arresting the people; they're just harassing people.
Can I add something on to this conversation?
Sure, my brother.
All right. I got a cousin named Rodney Mack. He is an expert trumpeter. He plays trumpet. Now he plays trumpet for the Philadelphia Harmonic Orchestra.
Okay.
But before, he was stationed overseas in Spain, Madrid, Spain, with his wife. For 15 years, he was not harassed by nobody. All of a sudden, he was profiled as being a drug dealer, a low-life gringo from the United States. So the Spanish police officers put him in jail for 48 hours until they found out who he was, what you call a professional musician for the Madrid Philharmonic Orchestra. So when he got out of jail, he told his wife, "Baby, it's time for us to go back down to New Orleans to see our roots, because here I'm thinking this is queen heaven with peaches and cream in it, but this is prejudice against us in Spain as in New Orleans." I said, "Man." So now he's in Philadelphia playing his trumpet for the Philadelphia Harmonic Orchestra. I think that's how his name is, Rodney Mack. So if anybody down there in Philadelphia knows, that's where my cousin Rodney Mack, who's an expert trumpeter.
Okay.
This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We come to you live every week from Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what we do is we have some conversations, some real conversations about what's going on. And about our community, and we engage in some questions and conversations and the things that we are looking to do and distinctions to move our community forward. So with that, we've got about 7 minutes left. Henrietta, anything that you'd like to say as we begin to wrap up?
Well, just, you know, as always, keep talking about what you want to, you know, what questions you have. You know, keep listening to get the answers that you're looking for. You know, think about everything. You know, all of the different statistics we've heard, the percents and what they mean, if Medicare is of interest to you, you know, take a look at what's being said about that. You know, Social Security. You know, just focus on the topics that are of interest to you. Make sure that you're registered to vote, and everyone around you. You know, it's just a question: are you registered to vote? And you know, just keep doing what's good for the entire community. That's it for me, Glenn.
Oh, thanks, Henrietta. Yeah, we really invite you to take a look and to be actively you know, I participated in a march 2 weeks ago. And I got to tell you, it felt good. If we stopped traffic, we chanted, we had a little bit of media coverage, but it was but you know it felt good because we were marching for to stop the violence in our community. And I tell you, you know, when I look back in the 60s and think about Martin Luther King and the kind of marches and conversations that he was having and that he put forth and that he galvanized the conversation to make a difference. And I really think that that's something that's missing for us in this day and age. And if we're going to move our communities forward, we need to be organizing ourselves and doing the same kind of activity to let people know we're not going to take it anymore. You know, like you were saying, Ms. Newman, it's down in Norland. It's you know, you're sick and tired of it, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, and it really, you know, and we can't create violence, but we can do that nonviolence approach to protesting and to letting them know that we're not going to take it anymore. And like I said, it was very validating for me. I felt very fulfilled inside of it. And you know, I think that we need to be doing more of that, those kinds of things. You know, they're very important to our movement forward. And to let some of these young people know that what we're about. Because I don't know that they really get it. You know, they're looking for us to give them some guidance and to provide them with opportunity for what's next. And so I think that that's part of what we need to do ongoingly with them. So... That's the real bottom line for me, to be able to do that and to make a difference in what they're doing. Mr. Newman?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Any closing comments for us?
Don't forget the 40 acres and the mule. That's very important for everybody to understand. What happened to them 40 acres and what happened to the old gray mule? When the reconstruction of the South came about, okay, you do your homework, you do some history research, and you find out what happened to the 40 acres and the mule. It's very enlightening, because it all boils down to the Nietzsche philosophy, power begets power, if you know what I'm trying to tell you.
Power begets power, is that what you said?
Yeah, power begets power. All right, I gotta go, y'all. I got my cousin from from New Jersey calling. So I see you, Henry. I see you.
Okay, thanks for calling in,
baby.
All right, take care. Yeah, the power begets power. So if we're not in touch and don't understand and know what our power is, then we can't move it forward. So we have got to be responsible and the catalyst for that conversation. Moving forward. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. A lot of information there for us about what we're up to and how we're organizing ourselves. And certainly want to provide that information for you. And certainly can come in and contact us directly on this line. 646-716-9827 on a weekly basis as we do our thing. So with that, I'm going to bid you all a good night. God bless. And just appreciate your partnership and your participation. And these shows are all being taped. So if you wanted to go back and listen to them at any future point in time, please do so. With that,
I said good night, God bless, and much love.
Good night.